If you have any type of feeling to any degree, you have the ability to feel the presence of God. It's not heavy. It's not religious. It's not something you have to work for or strive for. It's just a place of entry, a gift in the atmosphere that you can just receive and enter to. And it's here. And this is what people are striving for. Sorry, you can put your hands down. I don't want your arms to get tired. I thought I was ready, but I wasn't. I entered in to his presence. It's what the world is looking for, is the very presence of God. Because that gives the fullness in life. That gives you peace. Peace that the natural cannot understand. That gives you a realm in the heavenlies that the world does not understand. It washes away anxiety and fear, worry. This presence that you are partaking of and you sense and feel and are breathing in and receiving is the very presence that will carry you all the days of your life. It's not in a place. It's in Him. And when you find Him, you find that place. And He lives in you, so that place dwells in you that you can tap into and live in and dwell in. And He can be your God and you can be His people. Hallelujah. New Freedom isn't, church is not designed to come and just get a touch from God and leave and struggle every other day. This atmosphere is who you are. It's what you become. You become a child of God. You become a joint heir with Christ. You become a living spirit that walks and dwells and allows the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, comfort you all the days of your life. That's the presence that's in this place. That's the presence that we cultivate. That's what we cultivate by faith and trusting in Him. And Father, I thank You for this sweet presence, that it just carries us throughout the service this morning. And it carries us right out the door today into the things that the world is throwing at us, but the presence doesn't leave us. The joy and the peace never leaves us. Thank You for this presence, Lord. Thank You, Holy Spirit. You have this service. This is Your service. This is Your church. These are Your people. And we give it all to You. And we thank You in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. You may be seated. There's something where you can just get in God's presence and stay there. You can clap and you can shout, but there's a place of just being. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, is there's a place that God has for you. And we're experiencing, where the illustrated sermon is coming to pass, and I didn't even preach anything. It's God's presence. That's the place we need to be. We need to be in His presence. Because in His presence, the battle's already won. In His presence is fullness of joy. Amen. In His presence. Glory to God. Before we get into it, because once I get started, I can't turn. There's no way. There's no turning back. And I want to give you opportunity to give. And did you know that you can give in His presence? There's a presence for giving. Amen. It's an anointing. The anointing of God breaks the yoke. Oh, Jesus. There is such a presence in everything you do. Do not allow finances to overtake the presence of God. The worry of finances, the striving for business. Don't let that overtake the presence of God, because it's the very presence of God that's going to allow you to flow in the financial realm. Amen. Amen. It's through the presence of God which you move and you dwell and you have your being. It's in Him. And that's the place you need to stay. You need to make a decision. I'm going to stay in the presence of God. Because when I stay in the presence of God, He takes care of me. He watches over me. He protects me. He meets every need that I have. That's the presence. And that can dwell. It dwells in in every single believer, in every person that desires His presence. It can continually flow in you. Amen. Galatians 6. I want to go here briefly to give you opportunity to give. And giving is a wonderful thing when you understand what it's about. It's about worshiping God. And when you give to God, you're entering into His presence with your giving, and it allows God to supernaturally work in the area of finances. Amen. In Galatians 6, verse 6, it tells us, once I get to Galatians, it tells us in verse 6, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows in the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary in well-doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not or do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. So I'm sharing this with you because in verse 7 it says, do not be deceived. So with sowing and reaping, we can be deceived. We can sow places that we should not be sowing. Why? Because the enemy has deceived us in that area. But it says, God is not mocked. That word mocked is snub. That's like turning your nose up at something. And God will not allow that to happen. So what he's saying here is when you sow, it's a guarantee that you're going to reap because God is not mocked. God is a God that He shall not lie. He will bring it to pass. No matter what is going on or what the world says or what takes place in the financial realm of this world, God will not be mocked. And whatever you sow, you shall reap. Amen. And this is beyond finances. You will realize that the character of God applies and His absolutes apply in every area of your life. So God is not mocked. When you sow love, you shall reap love. He is not mocked. He will not back away from the truth of the seed that's sown. He will not be deceived. He will not lie. He will not be mocked. That's the God we serve. That's the promise and the guarantee, even in your finances, that God will not let go of what you have sown. So what you have sown, you need, and notice what it says, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap. Amen. In due season, you shall reap. So when you sow into the kingdom of God, God will not be mocked. He will guarantee you will see what you sow. Amen. Amen. You can fool many, but you cannot fool God. Because God's not deceived and He's not mocked. Amen. And when we follow God, we won't be deceived either. Amen. That's the blessing of God. When you follow God, you will not be deceived. The enemy cannot deceive you when you're in the Spirit and in the presence of God. That's what makes the presence of God so good. You know what? You'll never be deceived. You say, well, there's the deceiver. He's an accuser of the brother. Accusations don't mean anything when they're a lie. Somebody can accuse you all day long of something. But if it's a lie, it has no power. It has no power at all. So accusations of the enemy, accusations of other people. I'm telling you, stay in the presence of God, there can be accusations all day long about you. But it doesn't matter because God's not mocked. Amen. And what you sow for Him, you're going to reap in Him. Amen. Glory to God. So when you sow the kingdom, you're going to reap the kingdom. When you sow love, when you sow joy, when you sow peace, God's not mocked. It will come to pass. Amen. You will harvest what you plant. Get out what you put in. The results of your life will be based on the decisions that you make. So what you sow, you shall reap. Everybody say reap. Reap. Amen. That was very weak. Your reaping is weak. Amen. But what you sow, you will reap. So when you put your faith into what you're sowing, amen, you can also put your faith into what you're going to reap. Amen. You already know what you're going to reap based off of what you sow. Because notice this. If you have a weak point and you sow sin, like you sow negative words, guess what? You're going to reap them. You need to repent and break that seed so it does not produce in your life. Amen. And what you do is you do the opposite. But you, when you sow, you'll know what you're going to reap off of what you sow. That's why repentance is so powerful in God, because you can literally feel it in your spirit. That was wrong. I need to fix that. You repent. You turn from that and you go with God, and you don't have to harvest what you reaped in that area. Amen. So I want to give you opportunity to sow into the kingdom of God, because notice what it says in verse 8, for he who sows to his flesh will the flesh reap corruption. People ask me all the time, why do you pursue giving and teaching on finances? Because I want you to sow into the spirit. I want you to reap spiritual things in your life. I don't want you to just sow into your flesh and the things that you desire in your flesh and limit your harvest. Limit your ability to receive from God. I want you to have all God has for you. And I believe every minister of the gospel, every pastor desires the same thing. It's wrong for me not to tell you about the blessing of God. It's wrong for me to not break down and offer the word of God to you so you can receive all that God has for you. Amen. That would be wrong of me, and I will be judged for that. I cannot stand here knowing the revelation I know of sowing and reaping and not share it with you. I can't do that because I have to answer to God myself. Amen. So I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to share with you, and I'm going to tell you all that I know about this. And I know this isn't my message today, but I know if I just sow to worldly things, it's a guarantee I'll only reap worldly things. It's a fact. You sow into the world, you reap what the world has. And there's a lot of limitations. We have an almighty God that you can sow into. So you can reap almighty God's principles and power upon your finances. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to ask the ushers to come. But before they... Hold on, ushers. I just saw my note. I don't want to miss this. We're doing an outreach this week, this month, the end of the month, and I want to give you opportunity to sow into that as well. You may have did your envelope already. That's fine. But when I know we're going to sow into people's lives and a lot of young children this month, yeah. Hundreds of young children. That's what I'm believing for. And I want to ask you, if you believe in the young people and you want to see, these young people are getting bombarded with lies. Bombarded with lies. And this is an opportunity for you to sow into something where we can give them the truth. They can have a safe place and they can see the church and the kingdom of God and the love of God. Amen. And if you believe in that, there's ground right here where you live that you can sow into. I'm not against foreign missions. We sow there as well. But we must sow into the people that we are around as well. And the young people in our community. So from 12 and under, everyone in the local towns here are going to be invited to this outreach. And we're going to spend over $1,000 on this. We sow that. We do that by faith, not asking for somebody to give $1,000, not waiting for that to come in. We're sowing trust in God that because we know that what we're doing is good ground and it's going to produce. We already know that here at New Freedom. And everything we do it by faith. Amen. Amen. And I want you to join your faith with it and say, you know what? I'm going to be a part of that. I'm going to have an eternal reward. I'm going to sow seed into that because I want a harvest of those young kids that enter the kingdom of God. And I want to be a part of heaven rejoicing when a soul gets saved. Because we'll offer the salvation message. Amen. And we'll share the love of God with people. And if that is something that is speaking to your spirit right now, you do what the Lord's telling you to do in that. Amen. Do what the Lord's telling you to do. And I know that's separate from your tithe. It's separate from maybe the check you wrote today. You can give another week. I'm just offering that to you as more ground to sow into. And any farmer, and we're in a farming community, any farmer will know the more ground that you sow into, the bigger harvest you're going to have. Amen. So just as simple as a farmer knows that, amen, spiritually, the more we sow into, the more God's going to produce in different areas. Amen. You can have a crop locally in your church. You can have a crop locally in your community, you can have a crop all around the world based off of what you sow into. Because God's not mocked. He'll bring it to pass. Amen. Ushers, serve the people. Amen. Amen. God is so good. Hallelujah. God's speaking to people on this. God's speaking to people. Hearts are being... Man, my heart is broken for young people. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. I have a difficult time connecting with young people. I was an old soul my whole life. But I know people that can. And I'll sow into those people. I'll sow into people that are gifted and anointed. Oh, yeah. It's a little late now. If you're giving online or you're giving after this service this morning, mark it as outreach. That way people know. But if you gave it already, amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, my heart's breaking for young people. If you can just bow your heads. Oh, God. Jesus, you even said, do not forbid the young ones. For such is the kingdom of God. Lord, break our hearts for the young generation. Father, I thank you that there's a standard that you're raising within the church, within New Freedom, that's going to stand and fight for these young ones. That's not going to back down and not accept. We're not going to accept just the status quo and the moral decay of what the world is giving our young people. Enough is enough. We're going to stand for what your word says. We're going to stand in the gap. Put up a hedge. Hallelujah. And we're going to fight the good fight. We're not going to give up on our young people. We're not just hoping for something to change. We're sowing into believing God for a supernatural change in our young people. Let it start right in our community, Lord. Let it start right in our schools, Lord. One person filled with the fire of God can change a landscape. Just like one match can create a huge fire. Oh, it's in your presence, Lord. We reach out by faith, trusting in you, Lord. That you hear our cry, you hear our prayers. And as we sow seed into your kingdom, Lord, you multiply it. You multiply it and use it for your glory to change many, many lives for the kingdom of God. And we all agree with this prayer in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. 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 Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, if you're visiting and you're like, man, I'm not sure what's going on. Well, when you flow with the Spirit, it's like wind, the Bible says. Yes. You can see it when it touches things. You can hear it when it touches things, but you don't really know which way it's going. Well, that's the things of the Spirit. And when the Spirit touches your life, sometimes you even wonder what in the world you're doing. Because the wind of God, the Spirit of God's moving you. He's impressing things upon you. That's the presence of God. That's the anointing of God. And that's where He wants us to be. He wants us in a place where we can sense and feel His presence constantly. And if we're not, we need to adjust what place we're in. But you're in a good place this morning. Everybody say, I'm in a good place. Amen. You're in a good place. You're beautiful today. Every one of you, beautiful today. I mean, I'm telling you, you look good. You look good. Amen. You got to tell yourself these things. Because if you don't look good, then what do you look like? Yeah, don't answer that. So amen. What does that have to do with the presence of God? It's called faith. To get to the presence of God, you got to believe God ahead of time. You can't base it off of what you see. I can't base the children and what goes on with the schools just based off of what I see, because we won't get anywhere if we don't see it through the eyes of faith. If we don't have a vision for the young people, we perish. We got to have a vision. You got to see yourself victorious. You got to see yourself overcoming. You have to get to the place where you say, you know what? I can't do it myself. God, I'm trusting in you. You got to see yourself at a place of surrendering your life to God. Laying it all down. Lay it down on the altar. Lord, I give it to you. I've tried and tried with my finances to overcome, and I've only gotten this far with my own hand. Lord, I give it to you, Lord. I give you my finances. I give you my life. I surrender it all to you. You have to get to that place. Has anyone ever heard the statement, there's a place for everything and everything has a place? I've heard it many times, and most of the time it was about my room, or it was about tools that we were working for, that we were leaving around. It was about putting things in the right place. Everything has a place, and there's a place for everything. And when you understand that, there's so many realms in that statement. And when you start finding out the things of God, you realize that God has a divine order for everything. Everything has a divine order and a place. The reason you're here this morning, there's a place. And you found the place for you to be this morning. And in that place, there's blessing with God. So everything that is in divine order with God has His blessing upon it. Everything that is out of God's order does not have His hand on it. When you understand it, it'll change your life. Because guess where the enemy is? He's under your feet. And we have people going around putting the devil on an equal playing field with God. He's under your feet. You got to put him where he is, where he's supposed to be. That's where Jesus put him. Amen. So he doesn't have to go above your feet. He's always down there. All right? Don't give him more power than what he thinks he already has. Because he doesn't have power till you speak. And when you speak out of God's order, you give the enemy power to operate in your life. Amen. But when you keep him under your feet, that's the place he is meant to be. Just like Jesus, just like God said in the garden, from this day, you will eat dust. Amen. Amen. Just like a snake, from this day, you'll squirm on the ground. That's the power that Jesus put on the enemy. And don't give him more power. Don't give that snake legs. Don't give that snake opportunity to speak to you. Put him where he is supposed to be. So everything has a place. That's not my sermon, but I want you to understand something. Naturally, everything has a place. Spiritually, everything has a place. There's realms of authority. And when you get things out of place, you got problems. When the children run the home, that's a problem. Oh my golly, parents, you ought to be like, amen. Yes, that's a problem. It's a problem when a grandparent tries to run the home of a husband and a wife that have children. They're trying to work this thing out. That's their home. That's their covenant. Amen. You can pray and you can bless them and open and share with them when there's room. This isn't a marriage seminar. I need to get off of this because you're looking at me like, where's he going with this? I want you to understand everything has a place. In a marriage covenant, everything has a place. Everything has a place. And when you say, when all these men quote the scripture, my wife needs to submit to me, you don't even know what submission is. When you try to put your wife under your feet, you're not submitted to God. You're totally missing it. If you're telling your wife she needs to submit to me. No, you need to submit your life to God, and your wife will automatically submit to you, biblically speaking. There's a divine order to it. I know this won't get the rousing amen, but man, if you're a believer, you should be shouting. Unless the Holy Ghost is convicting you that you need to work things out, then you're like, oh, he's talking to me. My ears are burning. My feet hurt. He's stepping on my toes. There's divine order to things. There's a place for everything, and everything has a place. And God has a place for you already established. I wasn't going here, but let's go here. Amen. Let's go. This isn't even up there. Ephesians 2, verse 4. Just flow with me. CJ, just flow with me. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 2, 4. I'm trying to flow too. Ephesians 2, 4. Amen. It says, but God. I love when it says, but God, because that's pretty much saying, whatever was said, then you put the principle of God on it. Yeah. And then you see the promise come to pass. So if you're dealing with something that's out of order and you're not figuring out what the place is, like literally, I have two sets of keys and I can't find my other key. And that key is in a place, but it's not in the place it's supposed to be. Amen. But God is going to reveal to me where my key is that I've lost for like 2 weeks. It will show up in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm going to stand up here and show the testimony of my keys. See, everything has a place, but when you lose the place, you can't use it. That key has a divine place in my ignition to run my truck. And it's not in the place it's supposed to be, so it's useless to me. And when we don't have something in the place it's supposed to be, it's useless. It is not in its divine order. And you say, well, you're just talking about keys. I'm talking about life. Every aspect of life, even natural things, have an order and a place to them. And we cannot put things in places they shouldn't be because it's out of God's order. And I could get into some very deep things very quickly about the way society is going and how things are out of place. But you, most of you know where I would go. But that's not where I'm going today. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Let me stop right there. Notice what it says. We were dead in trespasses. This was prior to being converted. So this is prior to your salvation. It says, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together. God had a place for us even before we knew it.
Come on.
Notice that.
Yes.
God has a place for you whether you even accepted Jesus Christ or not. He has a seat at the table for you as an individual in heavenly places, even before you knew about it, even before you released of sin or anything else. God already had a... He loved you so much, he already set a table for you. That, how good is God?
Yeah.
How loving is God to make room for us when we didn't even deserve to have any room at all? That's place. That's giving place to something. I'm telling you, when you give place to people, even when they don't deserve it, I'm telling you, the hand of God can do some great and mighty things. Amen. Hallelujah. And raised us up together and made us, what? Sit together. When you sit somewhere, that's a place. God has a place for you seated with him. See, I'm telling you, when you get this in your spirit, you're not going to wonder about the person next to you or what seat they have or compared to their seat. You're going to say, God has a seat for me. I'm sitting right next to my God. Amen. Amen. Even the disciples argued about who's going to sit next to Jesus in eternity. Well, I got a seat next to Jesus, so I'm not really concerned about it. He already gave me a place with my name on it, because I accepted his name.
Yes.
I received him, he received me.
Hallelujah.
Now we have, now we're family.
Yes.
You want to make a shirt or make a cup, you can have that. Amen. I accepted Jesus, he accepted me, now we're together in eternity.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's the seat we have as a believer. That's your seat. You have to say, that's my seat. That is, I didn't mean to say it. I meant you got to say it in your heart That's my seat. You have a seat with Jesus in heaven. Amen. You have to say it. You're looking at me like you're getting loud. I'm getting loud because I want you to get it. I want you to have your seat that God prepared for you. Yes. Nobody else can sit in your seat.
Hallelujah.
It's yours.
Yes.
It is your seat. There is no... God has the seating chart in heaven. And if your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you have a seat there.
Yes.
Amen. And it's up to you to take your seat, to take your place.
Yes.
But if you only accept the things of the world, you never get to take your place in heaven. And when I say take your place in heaven, I don't mean just when you breathe your last breath. We are seated in heavenly places right now. So the realm of authority and divine authority has already been set, church. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You're already there. You have to see yourself in the place Jesus provided for you.
Amen.
Amen. You got to see yourself in that place. You say, well, I don't know if I deserve that. None of us deserved it. Not one of us deserved it. He did it before we even deserved it. Before the foundations of the world, Jesus set a place for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it says nothing about what you did or didn't do. It's just receiving His grace. For by grace I am saved through faith, that not of myself, it's a gift from God. The gift is Christ to get you the seat that you deserve, that He already planned for you. And it's not in your works. You say, well, I got to go to church so many times. Or I got to be a certain way to get my seat. No, you got to receive Jesus. And then you have your seat.
Yes, yes.
And people are always like, well, is it that easy? Yes, it's really that easy. There's children that are 7 years old that know where they're sitting. More than a 40, 50, 60 year old that's walking through life don't even know where they're supposed to be seated. I'm going to speak to some people here that know farming really well. But when I was in college, we had a tie stall dairy barn at the college. So there was like 30 cows on each side. And a tie stall is they had a collar and you hook a chain, you just unhook it and they walk out. But anyhow, you let all the cows out. So 60 cows would leave the barn. The barn looks the same. Every stall looked exactly the same. They all left the barn outside for like 6 hours. Grazing on the grass, enjoying life. You get the cows in. Every single cow knew its spot. It didn't walk past and it read its name or anything. Okay? It knew to walk in that barn and go 20 stalls. Boom. That's where Betsy was. Carol. I'm just joking. But what I'm saying, every cow knew its stall. And guess what happened? Guess even a cow. You're getting ready to say, man, I'm not even doing what cows can do. I want you to understand something. Cows would go in there, and if a young one messed up and got in its stall, that thing would work that other cow over till it moved it out of the way. Because that was its place. It didn't want anybody in its place. And I'm telling you, the church needs to get a holy boldness on the inside to take your stinking place. Just like a cow. Say, no, that's not your place. I earned that place. Amen. Jesus put me in that place. Get out of there. And we're literally giving the enemy our own place.
Come on.
Not just other people. We are relinquishing our place in heaven and allowing things of the world to take the place. We allow money to take the place that God has for us. Yeah. We allow thoughts. We allow lies. We allow hobbies. We allow this. Not against hobbies, but they better not have a place above Jesus.
Come on.
You can love God or money, mammon. You got to have things in a divine order. But I thought, when I saw that, I think to myself, cows are stupid. I work with cows my whole life. But they're not that stupid. For instance, you try to put a cow, and I'm doing this because there's some dairy farmers in the house. And there may be some dairy farmers in other countries. But you try to get a cow somewhere it doesn't want to be, your butt's getting run over. I don't care how big you think you are. If that cow turns and it sees daylight, you're done. you are done. It will run you over because it's like, that is not my place. I am not getting on that trailer. I'm not going in that pen. Leave me alone. Get out of my way or I will put you to the ground. And that's what a cow will do. They will run you over. And I've been run over. I'm speaking from experience. I learned my place and I don't like it on the ground. All right? So I learned my boundaries. God has the same things, but we have a free will with God, and we have to choose His boundaries. We have to know our place in the kingdom of God. And when we know our place, we can stand in our place and take our rightful place. I know this may seem foreign to you, but this is the simple gospel. This is literally the simple gospel. When you take your place in the kingdom of God, you have a realm of authority. Jesus literally said, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Do you know what keys represent? Authority. I shared this years ago. I've shared it before. When you look at a business, say there's a building. Say it's a hotel room. Hotel, not room, but rooms. Like 10-story hotel. Who has the most authority in a hotel? The janitor. Everybody looks at the janitor or the custodian as being the low man on the totem pole. But he's the one that has a whole key ring that can open every single room to the whole place.
Yes, amen.
Think about that. Right. We look at Hollywood. We look at this and that as they don't have any authority.
Nope, that's right.
Money is not power.
That's right.
You hear what I'm saying? Money will come and go. You can have 3 loaves and 2 fishes and you can feed 5,000. You understand what I'm saying? It's who you know that gives you the authority to stand where you stand. And I know that my wife was telling me of a teaching that the loaves were not like a big old loaf like this. The loaves were small and the fish were like minnows, like sardines. So it even makes the miracle even greater. You know, people think, well, it's a big old catfish. No, it was his lunch. His snack. So 3 loaves and 2 fishes aren't like this for a young man's snack. Maybe for my son. But everybody else, small. Amen. So God has a place for you. God has a place for you. You cannot let situations or circumstances sway you from the place God has for you. Amen. That's where we must renew our mind, get our heart right before God and say, you know what? God's speaking this to me. I'm going to take my place. Amen. Because when you're seated in heavenly places, every place you walk in on the earth is coming down to do it. That's prophetic. When you take your place in heavenly places in Christ, in the spirit realm, everything you do down on the earth that we are doing is from a realm of up there down, from spirit first into natural. The problem is when you don't take your place, you're doing everything from natural to spirit. And you can't do that. Natural things do not understand spiritual truths. Natural things cannot get you into spiritual places. I can't naturally know the gifts of the Spirit and walk in them. I cannot naturally walk in the fruit of the Spirit unless I know the Spirit and allow Him to move through me. I have to operate in a supernatural place to have the victory over the natural things. It doesn't work the opposite way. The supernatural made the natural. Think about that. God spoke things into existence. All right? Things didn't happen and make God like the world thinks. Evolution and all these other crazy things. I know that may burn your thought pattern in your 5th grade science when you did the Big Bang Theory. I literally did that. I blew up a balloon. And I did a hole punch with like 10,000, I mean, just hole punch in little white dots. And I shoved them in the balloon, and that was my science project in 5th grade. And I blew it up, and I popped it in the little white pieces, and I was like, this is how the earth was made. And I think back to myself, that's the dumbest thing in the world I ever did. But I got an A in 5th grade. But what did it do for me? It made me think that literally little particles went everywhere and they made everything perfect. Every particle, I look back and I think, Jesus, what are they teaching our children? It's like I can, anyway, that was a terrible, I will not say that. anywhere. That was, I just had a thought. Sometimes you got to keep your thoughts to yourself. Jeez. Where am I at? Hell. Let me get back into the presence. 1 John 2. It's crazy when you have a thought and then the Lord's like, don't say that. Yes, Lord. 1 John 2, chapter 15. Here we go. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world, for if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So when you love something, you're putting that first place. Notice that. If I love my wife, which I do, she's first place. I love people. I'm a pastor. I love people. But there's no lady close to my wife. No. It's not even comparable. You understand what I'm saying? Everything's got a place. And what you love, same thing with money. For the love of money is the root of all evil. So everything you look at that's evil, money's attached to it. It's very simple. You can look at Hollywood. You can look at sports. You can look at everything. You can look at oil. You can look at the stock market. You can look at everything. Money's attached to it. Money is attached to it. The love of it. Excuse me. Money's not bad. Money's good. Everybody say money's good. Say I like money. If you don't like money, I'll take yours too. There's nothing wrong with money as long as you're serving God first. Amen. You can have businesses. We pray for business opportunities in this church. We're believing God for increase in this church. It takes money. Money's not bad. Amen. Everybody desires a house and then a vacation house. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're living your life for a house, you're missing God. You're in the wrong place. Your thought patterns are in the wrong place. Your desires are in the wrong place. Your money's going in the wrong place. And then you're wondering why things are out of place. It's because you placed them in the wrong place. I know that's a lot of places. But I want you to see this. All right. For the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world. So these three points here, if you want to understand how the world operates, there's your scripture right here. For all that is in the world, everything in the world, because all means all, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of this world. So if you are lusting after something, and I know many people look at lust as one thing in a, are they little kids back? In a sexual way. But lust goes way beyond that. Lust goes way beyond that. So what I'm getting at here is for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, we must realize that if our desire or our longing is for something of the world above God, that is a lust. Lust is to desire something, okay? To desire. And there's things that you can desire, but you must desire God first, okay? You must be able to put your flesh under. We all have hobbies. There's nothing wrong with a hobby. And that can be a desire that you have that God's placed in you. Right? Some of you like to paint. Some of you like mechanics. Some of you like to fish, hunt. You like to do these things. There's nothing wrong with that. But you're in the right place on Sunday morning because priorities need to be. You need to be in this place first. And that place gets blessed when this is priority. When God is number one, everything else is blessed underneath. Everything. See, that's divine. That's a divine place. That's a divine order. Romans 14, 17. This is Paul speaking, and this is really what transitioned my life to be able to see things the way God sees them. Sometimes you have scriptures that really speak to you and mean a lot to you and make a impact in your life from that day forward. This is one of them for me. Romans 14, 17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you are in something, you're in a place. You are in church today. So guess what place you're in? Church, right? Very simple. When you're in the Holy Spirit, Those three points, righteousness, peace, and joy, are aspects or characteristics of in the Holy Spirit. So if you're out of the Holy Spirit, you're in the flesh. Yeah. Notice the place difference. What you put place in is what you flow in. We talked about the river. Amen. You can be in the desert or you can be in the river. Yeah. You can be in the spirit or you can be in the flesh. You can be in God or you can be not in God. You can walk in light or you can walk in darkness. See the difference. Everything has a place. And when you put yourself in God, in the Spirit, you're going to reap the fruit of the Spirit. If you're taking notes, Galatians 5:20 through 22, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, goodness, kindness. Against such there is no law. Why does it say no law? Because the things of the Spirit are not dictated by natural law. You cannot take a natural law and change God's mind. It ain't happening. I don't care what the government wants to do about shutting the church down. You can, we love you. You're not going to shut the church down. Yeah. That's a spiritual characteristic God ordained. You got to be kidding me. The church is going to function till Jesus says, come on with me. Hey, we're leaving this place. And then you think it's hell now. You wait till the tribulation comes when the church is raptured out. Yeah. It's going to be a bad place to be. And that's what gives me the desire to tell everybody about Jesus. Hallelujah. That is my soul winning perk right there, is when you realize how bad it's going to be and how bad hell is, why can't we make time to tell somebody about Jesus? We're so worried about our emotions and our feelings and getting rejected. Oh, I got rejected. What do you think Jesus felt like when the people were like, Hosanna, Hosanna, and then a week later, crucify him? That's what Jesus got. Wow, did it get quiet in here. I just got loud. Maybe you're really listening intentively. But that's the place that Jesus walked. When he walked in to Jerusalem and they were just all, oh, praise the king. Praise the king. Crucify the king. We'd rather have the person that murdered somebody released from jail than Jesus, the one that was healing people. How messed up is that? And what the society we're living in now, the place our nation is in right now is going in that same direction. What's good is evil and what's evil is good. They're coming against the church. I'm telling you right now. If you think it's bad, I'm not prophesying this. It's just biblical. It's not getting better. Trump is not going to make it better. I know people are getting ready to run out of here. Republicans aren't going to make it better. Neither are Democrats. They're not going. Man cannot make moral decay better. They can put a Band-Aid on it. Just like sin. You can't buy your sin away. You can't hope your sin away. Sin has place in you. You're going to produce out of that sin. You're going to reap what you sow. So don't think that if you put Savior in man, you're messing up. If you are worshiping a certain Republican or a Democrat, I'm telling you right now, you're missing it totally. You are totally missing it. A Republican is not going to fix it. Anyway, I'm not going to get into voting. It's good to vote. Just vote the Bible. People ask me all the time, who should I vote for? Do a little research, figure out which one's the closest to the Bible, and vote for that one. That's it. That's it. I don't have to talk about it anymore. Don't text me or send me an email and list who I'm voting for. You must get it on the inside of you. That's like saying, calling me to get all your prayers answered. No, you got to get it by your faith. You got to reach out and take your place at the seat, at the feet of Jesus, and talk to him yourself. I know I'm a pastor, and that's the worst thing to probably say from the pulpit. Do it yourself. But if you can't do it yourself, the pastor, I won't be here all the time. What if you are in the place, but life and death, and you can't, the phone systems aren't working? Your faith has to work. That's the place you need to get to, church. And the American church doesn't teach that. They teach just come on Sunday, let's all get together. We're going to lift our hands. We're going to praise God and everything's going to be okay. We'll pray and hope everything gets okay. Oh, by, be thy God's will. Oh, what? No, you got to do it. You have to get to the place with God yourself, because church is not going on 7 days a week. Church services. You're not in God's presence corporately 7 days a week. You have to step out, take your place, grab the bull by the horns, wrestle that beast down, and get the victory. Amen. Jeez, I didn't think I'd preach like this today. Romans 14:17. Hey, and you're thinking, how can he laugh after being like that? It's the joy of God. I get excited because I know the truth, and the truth has set me free.
Amen.
Is I'm not bound by sin. I'm not bound by the world system. You say, don't say that online. I'm going to say it online because you need to hear it and they need to hear it. Amen. And if they shut me down, some other preacher is going to speak about it.
Yeah.
Amen. There's many on fire preachers that are going to preach the full gospel.
Amen.
Amen. There's few around this area, but there's more coming.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Because I'm God's raising up an army. Amen. Of preachers that are not going to bow to Baal. We're not going to bow to what the world wants us to say. We're not going to bow to Facebook or YouTube. Love you guys. Thanks for you. We'll use your platform. But if you shut us down, guess what? The Lord's going to open another door.
Amen.
Amen. And if you may have been beat up and you may have been shut down, but take your place. Amen. The enemy may have tried to push you out of your place. Fight for your place. The Bible says stand. And when you've done all to stand, stand.
Yeah.
Amen. Put your feet on the solid rock of Jesus and stand.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Take your place of victory because you already have it.
Yes.
Jesus gave you the victory over sin, hell, and the grave. And when you take your place, you have the victory. You have heaven on earth. You have peace with God. You can sleep at night. You don't have to worry. You don't have to take 10 prescriptions about how to do this, this, and I don't even want to get on that. My golly, you got to take one medicine for dry eyes, and then you got issues with dehydration in the rest of your body. Just let your eyes run a little bit and buy a tissue. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. The side effects of medication will kill you. They'll eat your kidneys and your liver. I know people literally been on medication their whole life. I'm not against medicine. There's times that maybe you need it for a little bit, but it's not your lifestyle. It's not your lot. It's not your place. Jesus is your healer. Hallelujah. He's your healer. But if you have to take medicine and then take another medicine to help the other medicine, your body react to the other one, it drives me nuts. People on medication to calm down. Man, put that fire in God and let the horse, let it run.
Come on.
If you're a loud person, be loud for Jesus.
Hallelujah.
If you're good at business, do good business for Jesus. Amen. Take your place in the body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I can't do it all. By golly, the Lord knows I can't do it all. And I'm figuring out that I can't do it all because I get burnout if I try to do it all. We need each other in our places. So when a brother or sister calls you and says, you know what, I'm struggling through this, you're already at a place where you can give them the scripture. You can give them a word. You can pray faith over their life. Amen. Or you can go visit them and lay hands on them and say, be made whole. In Jesus' name. You get to that place, you stand in that place, you have the victory, and you can help others get the victory. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I don't even know if I want to preach the rest of my sermon. Amen. Hallelujah. You're not supposed to say amen. Now, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drink. The kingdom of God is not in the physical realm. The kingdom of God's not in the physical realm.
Yeah.
It's in the spiritual realm. That's the place we need to live.
Yeah.
When you live in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh.
Right.
So when you live in the place of the kingdom of heaven, amen, you're not fulfilling lustly desires. You put those in submission. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God ordained. God ordained. So the kingdom of God is not eating or meat and drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Notice righteousness, peace, and joy is on the inside. You have to get it in here before you see it out there. So when you receive Jesus by faith in His Spirit, you get it in here, then you start confessing and declaring it out there, and then you start seeing it out there. The problem is when you walk in your flesh, you want to have peace and joy out here, but you haven't received it in here. You haven't given your heart the place it needs to be in God and given the Holy Spirit the place He needs in your life to see it on the outside. The world is trying to buy it, buy peace. They're trying to do peace treaties to keep everything calm. They're trying to pay this and do that and bargain this and lie about this and all that kind of stuff to try to get peace. You're not going to get peace. It's this world is full of sin. Sin is just producing after itself. But those that know the Lord, you can walk in perfect peace, the Bible says. Amen. You can walk in perfect peace. Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, yes. Let's go here. John 4:14. So much to give. So much. Holy Spirit, show me. Show me what the people need. Hallelujah. God has a place for you. John 4:14. But whoever, are you a whoever?
Yes.
Amen. Whoever. That means everybody. Everybody has the potential for this. Notice that. Not everybody has the guarantee. Everybody has the potential to walk in the things of God. Notice that. You have to receive God to walk in the things of God. It's available to everybody. But it becomes a reality when you say yes to Jesus. All right? But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Notice, Jesus was saying that we come and we want natural water, but he gives us a spiritual water to everlasting life. There's a place. When you put God first, you will see that spiritual things become priority, and you walk in those spiritual truths, you will never thirst again. What does that mean? That means God will sustain you in every place that you go. You say, well, maybe I'm going into a dry place. Maybe there's a dry place over here. Maybe my finances are dry. As soon as you put God there, there's a watering that takes place. There's a spring that starts priming. Amen. This is talking about salvation. Guess what? When you get saved, that spring is alive in you from that moment forward. So it doesn't matter where you tread your foot, where you go. The Lord could take you to the middle of nowhere to be a missionary, but the spring is with you. The life of God is with you. That's the place we as believers can live and walk in, knowing that in us is a spring of water of eternal life wherever we go. And when you tap into that and you know it's there, you never have a dry place. You don't have to say, oh, I'm going through a dry season. Why are you going through a dry season? Because you're not tapping into the life that God has. It's dry because you are accepting the outside and not letting the inside out. You're letting the outside in and not letting the inside out as a believer. And when you understand this, you don't let the outside dictate the inside. You tell the inside, I'm going to dictate the outside.
Yeah.
I'm going to take my place with Jesus, and Jesus is going to fight my battles.
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah. It lives on the inside of you. It lives on the inside of you. This is salvation. This is a constant source. Amen. John 7:37-38. This is the next level of it. Everybody say next level. Hey, because there's one thing about a well. That's wonderful. A well can feed a few people. It can minister to a few people. But when you get a river can feed a town. A river can feed a city. A river can feed a nation. Amen. That's what lives in you. John 7:37-38. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me." Hey, come to me. That's a place you have to go, is to Jesus. Is to Jesus. Come to me and drink. Many people come to Jesus, but they don't drink. You got to drink. You got to receive what Jesus has offered and paid for you. You have to apply His blood to the heart, to your heart, to your life. Amen. You have to apply His stripes on your back for your healing. Amen. You can come to Jesus. Oh, I know God. When I went soul winning this Saturday, I talked to a lady and I told her that God loves her. She's like, oh, I know that. Once I said the name of Jesus, she shut the door on my face. That's the power of the name of Jesus. Not that she shut the door, but that evil spirit in that home is like, that name, I don't want that name because it's going to mess with what's going on in my house. And she shut the door right on my face. All I said was, God loves you and Jesus has a plan. Soon as I didn't even get the S on Jesus. Door shut right in my face. I didn't think I looked that bad of a person that somebody would shut the door in my face. No, they shut the door on Jesus. They shut the door on the power of God. And they're in torment. And it breaks my heart, but it goes to show there's a spiritual force out there. Amen. But you must take it. I was giving it to her. I did not ask her for money. I did not give anything to her. I did not do anything that the world wouldn't give. I didn't do anything to warrant the slam door. Nothing but the name of Jesus. Verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart. Whose heart? His. Your heart. Out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. There is a river shut up in your heart that God wants to release everywhere. Everywhere. Everybody wants to keep their little stream in order. No. God, Jesus came for everybody. He didn't care about the man's order. He flooded the world with his love. He didn't wait to say, well, I don't know if they're going to receive me today. We'll wait another day. No, God said, I'm sending you. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall have life. I just butchered that. Life and life more abundant. That's a different scripture, but it's all good. Shall receive eternal life. Everyone who believes in him. God so loved you that he sent his son. So that river lives in you. But notice something. The well springing up is for your salvation. That's for self-sustaining. That's for you to receive your thirst. The river is for every single person around you to get what you have. You see what I'm saying? The well is your salvation. The river is the salvation of the multitude around you. That's why in Acts chapter 1, it talks about the Holy Spirit will come upon you to be a witness. The Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what comes on you to allow that river to flow out of you. Amen. And when that happens, you'll be a life-changing person. You will change the lives of those around you. Last scripture, Psalms 1, 1 through 3. Again, I have a lot of favorite scriptures. This one's right up there with them. Psalms 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So, number one, underline walk if you have your Bible. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands, underline stands, in the path of sinners. That's also a place. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So walks, stands, and sits. Those are all places, aren't they? All the other places, the ungodly, the sinner, and the scornful, are all those that are not of God. So God does not want you in a place of the things of the world and the people that are just of the world. And I know before you say it, well, Jesus went to the sinner, he went to the wine bibber, he went to the tax collector. Yeah, he went there and imparted the kingdom of God. He did not dwell with them, hang out with them, take on their culture. He went and changed their culture. Amen. He took what he had, the place that he was, took it and brought it to them, and they received what he had. See, if you don't take your rightful place and you go to those places, you're going to become that place. You will become that place because you haven't made him the place where he needs to be. And if we try to live our lives in the place of the world without submitting fully to God, we will be consumed by the world. And people are beat up by the enemy every day, even though he's under our feet. They're beat up because they're believing a lie about what, and they're deceived by what the enemy's saying. And you can live your life, even as a Christian, not knowing the truth and not being set free from it, and be bought up in a lie your whole life, being beat up by the enemy day in and day out, believing a lie day in and day out. And you need to cut that thing off and say, enough is enough. I'm coming to the throne room of Jesus, and there's not another day in my life I'm going to believe that lie. And when you submit your life to God, bam, just like that, your life is changed forevermore. Because when God stamps you and he marks you, you're never the same again. Christianity is not fire insurance. Christianity is not, I'm going to come to church on Easter or on Christmas, do my blessings, I'll give the church $10,000, all is well. That is not a Christian. That is not a Christian. A Christian is a Christ follower that lives their life wholly for God every day. And if they mess up, they repent and they get right back with God. They don't live in guilt. They don't live in worry or fear. They say, enough is enough. Lord, you paid for this. I put my place under you, and I'm going to live for you all the days of my life. Amen. And I know we did an altar call earlier, but if everyone could bow their head and close their eyes, those listening online, I'm telling you, today is your day. It doesn't matter what place you've been in, God has a place for you. God has a place for you. You are already seated in heavenly places. If you want that place, God has prepared it for you. And I just want to offer it to you. For those listening online, if they've never asked Jesus into their heart, never made a decision for the Lord, never heard a message quite like this, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Two real places. The kingdom of heaven is a place. The kingdom of hell is a place. And there are places where people, lives will be for eternity. Mark my words, the truth of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of hell is more real than my voice right now. And each and every person must make a decision where they want to spend eternity. Don't buy the lie that all my friends are in hell. I'll just be there with them. Yeah, that's not a lie. You will if you do not accept Jesus. Don't buy the lie that how can a loving God send someone to hell? God is all loving. That's why he sent Jesus. That's why Jesus was sent, so you could receive him and not go. God doesn't send anybody to hell. God gave his son so you don't have to go. And he's a living reality in your life. And if you want to make him your Lord and Savior, today's your day. If the Lord is impressing on you that you need to ask Jesus into your heart, or you need to rededicate your life to him, I want you to lift your hand right where you are. You're not living how you should live. You need a change. You need a new place in God that you may have never been at before. You couldn't see it before, but your faith is saying, I can see this. There's a possibility. There's potential. There's a place at the seat of the throne room of God with your name on it. And if you would like that, I want you to lift your hand right where you are. Hallelujah. Never the same again in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. For those listening online, Jesus came to seek and to save those who were lost. And if you are lost and do not know your eternity, his name is Jesus. And if you would believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. God is long-suffering that all men and all women shall be saved. And all you do is ask him into your heart. Some people call it a salvation prayer. I like to call it a confession. A heartfelt confession to God. Jesus, I need you. I can't live without you. My sin is too great. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again. And I give my sin to you now. You can make it your words. Your heartfelt words to God. Be my Lord and Savior. Take the sin out of my life. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross and rose again. Just for me. I give you my life right now. I give you my life. I give you my sin. I give you my heart. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. I receive you now. God looks at your heart and He's touching people even now. Based off of their heart, based off of their faith. Trusting in something greater than themselves. Oh, hallelujah, there's a transition from death to life right now. From darkness to light. From a place called hell to a place called heaven. God is transitioning lives even now. God is speaking to hearts even now. God is healing hearts even now. Right now, if God's speaking to you, I want to thank those listening online. God bless you. But if God is speaking to your heart, I want you to come forward. If you're ready for a change, if you're ready for a new place in God, I want you to come forward. And I want to pray with you. God is changing lives. There is a true and living God. And He's present right now. His presence is here right now. He loves you. He died for you. And He's coming back again for you. If you have pain in your body, it's the same thing. That's not your place. Sickness is not to have place in your body. And I would love to pray with you. And we're going to rebuke that pain and that sickness. If you're fed up with it, if you're done with it and you don't want it anymore, I'll be in agreement with you that it has to go. Because Jesus is already in agreement. He came 2,000 years ago to get rid of it for you. If that's you, God's speaking to you, just come forward. It's not weird. It's not odd. Nobody's going to hurt you. It's between you and God. If you're done with pain, literally done with pain, God is here. God is here. Hallelujah. I say pain, maybe it's emotional pain. Maybe it's thought patterns that are plaguing your life. Keep you in fear and worry. Anxiety, anxious about things. Man, I'm telling you, the world will put all that stuff on you. And God will take all of it off. God will remove fear. It's a spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Hallelujah. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There's joy. There's peace. Just obey what the Spirit's saying. Just obey.